We recently bought a home, and you know, leading up to purchasing your home, obviously the bank wants to check your credit, make sure you're going to be able to make payments. Not only are you going to be able to, but make sure that you do make payments. Now, I had a little bit of trouble with finances in my earlier years. I got caught on a college campus and was issued a credit card when I didn't have a job. And because of my vast wisdom, I went out and used that credit card. I wanted stuff, man. So I bought stuff, and I had no plan to pay nor any means to pay. And so within years, I had collection agencies looking for me, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's not true anymore. God made a way for me to be able to pay those debts back. And especially after giving my heart to Him, changed my heart to be a good steward of my money. That's not the point. Here's what happened. We went to get our house, and they said, we're going to pull your credit report. I'm always nervous when they say that. It doesn't matter. I know I pay my bills. I know I'm up to date, but there's just something about those words from my past. They say, I'm pulling your credit. And I go, am I missing something? They pulled the credit report, and I saw what I now consider my favorite word on that report. Next to those collection agencies that still remain on the report, it says, satisfied. Satisfied. And I love that word because it means I no longer owe anything. It means my standing with these companies is now good. I love it for that reason, but I also love it because it reminds me. That was who I was. This is where I am. It's a reminder of where God has brought me. That I had debt. That debt is paid. And those places are now satisfied. That's true of those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We had a debt to God that we could not pay, that was paid for us. And because of that, God is satisfied. The title of this morning's message is God is Satisfied by Jesus. This is important. Before we even get into it, I had this sentence just going over and over in my head and my heart over the last couple of weeks. I kept saying to my wife, Christine, I just feel like we need to get back to one truth. That Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. He did die. He wanted to die. But it's more than that. He had to die. I think that's been lost somewhere along the way. It's become more, Jesus died simply as an expression of His love. Was it an expression of His love? Absolutely. Is that why He died? Simply to express His love? No. He died because He had to. Because God is satisfied by nothing other than Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that we would receive what You have to say this morning. For Your glory's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Romans chapter 3 this morning. And before we do that, I just want to give a little background on what Paul has done leading up to the text we will look at. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul has set up somewhat of a courtroom scene. And he's giving us God's view of mankind. And he says the wrath of God is being revealed against mankind. This is mankind's position in relationship to God. The wrath of God is being revealed against mankind. Why? Well, he lists how man chose sin. And when man chooses sin, man chooses more sin. It's like a bag of Doritos. All right, let's just bear with me. Doritos are not sinful. Don't walk away with that. Yes, right. Okay, so here's the thing about Doritos. I love Doritos, particularly the nacho cheese ones. They're the only real ones. And so I love Doritos. But I know that if you read the ingredients, you'll find some crazy chemicals. Triglycerate, nitrate, who knows what that stuff is. So I know Doritos are bad for me. Doritos are bad for me because I don't know what they're doing inside of me. And Doritos are bad for me because they expand my waist size. Right? And you know what's funny about food? If you walked into a laboratory and they had a bowl of Doritos and they took a test tube and dumped it on your Doritos, here you go. No one would eat that. But we do it anyway. When it, you know, if it's in the bag, we don't mind. Anyhow, that's not the point. So I see a bowl of Doritos and I say, those look tasty. And I know they're bad for me. I shouldn't have Doritos right now. But man, they're good. All right, I'm just going to have one. How many of you have had one Dorito? Right? That's not happening. So I take one Dorito. That was delicious. Maybe I'll have two. So I have two Doritos. And then three. And then three at a time. This is me. I don't know if you're as bad as me, but this is me. And then, here's my favorite. All right, this is my last time I'm going to have any Doritos. So I grab a handful, because that makes it better. Last time, you know. But that's how God lays it out. This is how humanity was with sin. It started with Adam, obey me. That's it. There's not even an option to choose something sinful. Eating fruit, eating whatever that was, that's not sinful. Eating fruit is not sinful. The fact that God told you not to eat the fruit makes it sinful. So Adam ate the fruit. And then what happened with his children? His son killed his other son. It went downhill. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul lays out how mankind chooses sin. God gives them over. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is where we stand. Have a good morning. Thanks for coming. So then he moves to chapter 2. And now God is standing there as the judge. And he shares his personal view on here's what it looks like. Then we get into chapter 3. And there is an authoritative verdict, a decisive verdict given from God himself. And it says this, there is none righteous, not one. No one seeks God, which is amusing when you consider the seeker churches. No one seeks God. The Bible said that's how depraved man is. That at no point in our life do we in and of ourselves decide, I would like God. He doesn't leave us hanging there. But this is what God tells us. There is none righteous, no, not one, no one who seeks God. So where do we go? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. Paul writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So right here, Paul has given us the heartbeat of the gospel. That number one, we have all sinned against God. We have sinned against God. Now this is critical because you look at the passage here, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is all. So when I say we, I mean everyone in this room. Everyone in this world. We have all sinned. Not most have sinned. Not many have sinned. All have sinned. And here's what can happen. We can look at a horizontal level and begin to decide whether or not we have sinned. Unbelievers do this. and believers do this. We look horizontally. We look at the guy next door and say, I don't do that. Therefore, God, aren't I acceptable? We watch the news and we say, phew, I certainly don't do that. Therefore, God, aren't I acceptable? Christians who know about the grace of Christ are prone to do the same thing. We begin to look horizontally. And we say, I don't do that. Therefore, God, aren't I pleasing to you? As a Christian, I don't do that. Aren't I pleasing to you, God? No. You, in and of yourself, are not pleasing to God. I, in and of myself, am not pleasing to God. Because all have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. See, our comparison needs to be vertical. God says, I am holy. Everything I've ever thought, everything I've ever done, everything I have ever created, everything I have ever planned has been holy. My very existence is holy. I am pure light. There's not even a shadow in me. That's how holy I am. He says, unbeliever, non-Christian, look up. Do you see me? Now, how do you stand? He says, Christian, stop looking at your brother and sister in Christ. Look at me. Now how do you stand? And the only response that we can properly have is to fall on our knees. Oh Lord, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And can I just tack this on? All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Still. So, luckily, Paul moves forward here. See, to me, sin is like racking up debt. It's like, it's buying things you can't pay for. Because you want it. Let's just be real this morning. We sin because we want to. Let's throw out that false claim that, oh, I don't want to, but I do. In the bottom of your spirit, you don't want to. I believe that about us as Christians. I don't want to, but here's the real truth. I don't want to want to. That's what it really is for me. I don't want to want to. Because when the moment comes, I choose what I want. When I snap at my wife, which has only happened once in 5 years, aren't I great? Then it was her fault. I can piously walk away and say, oh, woe is me. I didn't want to yell at you, honey. Oh, yeah, I did. And I slapped my Christian grit over it, and I said less than I wanted to. Yeah? But I wanted to. And so it's like we purchase things, we do things, we choose things that we want. And then we look back, and God has this big credit report and goes, now you have a debt. What will you do? Here's the gospel. Nothing. I can't do anything. Because if I could, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. That's why, number two, Jesus paid for our sin. Jesus paid for our sin. Not simply because he wanted to, though he did. He had to. Me paying for my sin is like going to American Express and trying to pay them with wampum. They're not receiving it. They're on a totally different scale. I can't pay them with pesos. They want American dollars. Now see, the Bible says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. And I thought, why would that be? Well, way back in the Old Testament, it says that there's life in blood. You with me? God wants sin paid for by life. The decisions you make in life that affect your eternal life need to be paid for with life. But if you're to take my blood, isn't that ineffective? What can I give to God to pay for my sin? How can I pay the debt that I have racked up all on my own? I can't. That's why Jesus paid for our sin. He says in verse 24, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of super spiritual words in there. So let's walk through them. We are justified. Justified is a legal term. It means the charges are dropped. We are acquitted. The guilt is removed. The person standing before the judge now looks at them and says, the court case is dropped, you are acquitted, you are innocent. You are declared innocent before a holy, righteous, perfect God. Well, how did that happen? By His grace. God's grace is love given to guilty people. His love given to guilty people. A guilty man standing before God is told by that God, I love you. I'm dropping all charges. You ever had that happen? Have you ever received a bill in the mail and it said, hey, we love you. We took care of it for you. Sincerely yours, Discover. No. But the holy God of the universe looks us in the eyes and says, I love you. You're acquitted. Go free. Well, how does He do that? It's a gift. What do I have to do? Do I have to take it from God? No. Have you ever gone in a birthday party and taken your gift from someone? That's awkward. You don't take a gift. You don't buy a gift. You don't earn a gift. The gift is handed to you. God sitting in His seat of judgment reaches over and hands us a gift and says, I love you. Go free. The charges are dropped. Well, what's the gift that He hands me? It's the redemption. Pastor John said some years ago about bottles. He's a thrifty guy. He said, I always redeem my bottles. I paid for it. I want my 5 cents back. Now, I didn't realize that. No? Oh, that 5 cents is money I already paid. Right. That makes it a redemption. I'm redeeming it. God created us. We belong to Him. We are His. So what He's done is He has bought us back. Himself. You see? So He reaches over and says, you are guilty, but I have bought you back. I'm giving you the price. Because I love you, go free. This is mind-blowing. And it says that it's in Christ Jesus. Our redemption, this whole thing is in Christ Jesus. Always. Never changes. You're here this morning, you don't know Christ. Your redemption, your freedom is in Christ Jesus. Maybe you are a Christian. Can I tell you something? Your redemption today is in Christ Jesus. Your standing before God is in Christ Jesus. It's still by Christ Jesus. God is satisfied by Jesus. It is never an exchange that takes place where He says, here, it's yours, now, it's on you. Keep up the good work. No, it's always in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Present. Perfect. In Christ Jesus. Always. Jesus has paid for our sin. And so, thirdly, God is satisfied by our faith. Specifically, our faith in Jesus. It says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. So we stand before this holy God and He says, the way to receive this gift that I have for you, to take this redemption because of my love that will declare you innocent for eternity, is by faith. You've got to trust me. You've got to believe. You have to stop trying to make yourself innocent. You'll never be innocent. You'll never be innocent. Christian, you're not innocent either. In and of yourself. You see? In and of yourself, we are never innocent. He says, you've got to trust me. So, the redemption in Christ Jesus, now this is crazy, whom God put forward. Whom God put forward. One commentator said, God made the first overture toward us. He made the first offering. No one seeks God. God makes the offering to us. Now picture this. Holy God, completely perfect. No shadow. Never thought, done anything wrong. Completely content by Himself. Says, I do love you so much that I'm going to step forward. I'm putting my son forward. Now, I want you to do a little exercise. Everybody's got to close their eyes. I know it's a little weird. We've never done this. Just close your eyes. It's creepy, but we'll be past it soon. Wherever you are today in your walk in life, I want you to picture yourself standing there. Some of you, you're going to be in nature. Some of you, I don't know where you're going to be. But just picture yourself. Where are you in this journey called life? Where are you specifically in relation to God? Think of how holy He is. How close to Him are you? 10 feet? 100 feet? 1,000 feet? Is He over the mountain? Is He on another continent? Picture where you're standing. And now I want you to picture this. This God who loves us so much has been put forward. He is coming to you. I want you to picture Him running over the mountain with His arms wide open, saying, I love you. I paid for you. I want to set you free. And you have to receive me. This is the picture of Christ in the propitiation. This is Christ being put forward, running to you. He comes to you. You can look up here. He runs to you. You're standing there helpless, hurting, lost, guilty. And He runs to you. God. Wow. Wow. I think about it like this. My son, when he sees me, all I have to do is go like this. And he runs across the room. Daddy, 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 daddy. Every day. Every time. all I have to do is go like this. And what's amazing is that makes sense when it's my son. But what about when that's Jesus? And I stand there helpless and he comes running, saying, Shawnee, 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 Shawnee. And I stand there watching him run to me with that same love, the same desire to hold me, the same desire to be with me. And all the while saying, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do you need me to do? Nothing. I'm coming. Shawnee, 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 Shawnee. Just receive me. Just grab me. Just hold me. Because I've done everything else. This is what God has done. Jesus paid for our sin. See, God put him forward by his blood. That's the cross. As we look toward Easter, that's what the cross was. The payment, the shedding of blood to cover my sin. That's the redemption price. That box that God hands me over the courtroom, that's a box filled with Jesus' blood. Can you imagine? Here's your sin covered, Sean. What's in the box, Lord? My son's blood. That's what had to be paid for you. And I love you enough to be willing and glad to give it to you. Will you just take it so that you can walk out of here innocent today? See, it's to be received by faith. And my only response, the only part I play in this, is to say, yes. Yes. Thank you. Because I know I can't pay for this. God is satisfied by Jesus alone. And because he has been satisfied by Jesus, he comes running to us with joy. The debt's been paid. I've paid it. I've paid it. Open your arms. I'm coming. I paid it. Imagine how excited Jesus is to run to you. I never thought that. The night God showed me, my son is excited to run to you. My whole world changed. And I couldn't do anything but love him back. Why do you love me? Because my son paid. If he loves you that much, I love you that much, we're good. As we look toward Easter, next week Pastor John's going to talk about the new life found in Christ. What that looks like. But we can't ever forget how we got that. Jesus had to die. Because God is satisfied by Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son to purchase me. God, when I think of you and me, I consider myself worthless. But you would cross the universe to buy me back at the price of your own life. Thank you. God, I pray that the heart response of everyone in this room, whether for the first time or for the 100th time, is just thank you. Thank you for doing what I could not, cannot, and will never do. Let those who have never before trusted you put their faith in you because you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.